sin no more have dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the thing
a little more on that wonderful Jesus and his glorious redemption that he has provided for us. Shall we turn this morning to the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 12. And let's begin with verse 9. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies and round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your land, and all your choice vows, which you vow unto the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and your sons, and your daughters, and your men servants, and your maidservants, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place thou seest, but in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. I want to speak this morning on the place. That is taken from verse 11, where we read, then shall there be a place which the Lord thy God chooses. Again, verse 13, take heed that you don't offer your offerings in every place you see. Verse 14, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. There is one place to offer sacrifice unto the Lord. We read here, it is the place of his choosing. Locally, we know that that could certainly apply to Gilgal. That's the first place that Israel came, and indeed they offered the Passover. They observed the Passover right after they went into the land of Canaan. During this particular chapter, they are still on the wilderness side of Jordan. Moses is still alive at this time. They do not go into the land until after Moses is dead. That is significant. We'll see a little bit more about that later in this message. And the fact of the matter is, Moses or the law could not lead them into rest, could not lead them into the land of Canaan. And so Gilgal is a very important place when it comes to offerings. Apparently, they continued to offer there in Gilgal until well into the reign of David, because they were through the judges and under Samuel, they were offering offerings at Gilgal. There came a time when David wanted to move the ark and everything associated with it to Jerusalem, which is exactly what he did. That would be in fulfillment, as we read here, that he was talking about, there shall be a place in one of your tribes. That would be the tribe of Judah. And so Jerusalem is the place where David moved all of that. It continued from there on down even into the time of Jesus. And of course they brought their offering. They brought indeed Jesus there into Jerusalem at that particular time. Today I want to notice that, or enlarge on the place. All of these other offerings, all of these other things that we have mentioned, and really it begins even before this, in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of these, those were only types and shadows of the place that God had in mind. Let us turn this morning to the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke 23. And we'll go down to verse 32. And there were also two others, malefactors, criminals, led with him, that is, led with Jesus, to be put to death. Verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. I want to enlarge on the fact today that the place that God is actually talking about there in Deuteronomy is Calvary. It is important to understand what he is saying here. There have been many songs written around Calvary. There have been many messages preached on Calvary. There have been many sermons brought forth surrounding Calvary, even as we are doing today. Calvary is found only one time in Scripture. The other three gospel writers refer to it as Golgotha. They are the same place, and they have basically the same meaning, which is the place of the skull. But it is very important that Luke should use the word Calvary, because Luke presents Jesus as the man. An additional meaning to the word Calvary is hair or horn. The hair in Scripture testifies of weakness. We find that with Samson. He was a Nazarite, would not cut his hair, and that's wherein his strength lie. But you see, the secret of hair is it's taking the place of the weaker vessel. And then horn. Horn is symbolic of power, often used that way in the book of Daniel. Here it tells us of the power of Jesus. Then, of course, the place of the skull or the head. This is the place where headship was actually determined. And so putting all of this together, this tells us how that Jesus came into this world as a man, and he assumed the headship of Adam over the entire human race. Jesus took Adam's race down into death with him. In other words, he succumbed to the weakness of all mankind. He submitted himself to that particular weakness, and he died there at Calvary. But he did not remain there. Jesus was raised from the grave, and he was raised in power. He came forth as the horn of power, as the head of a new creation. And so I want to notice today, all of this happened at Calvary. This is the place that we are talking about. This is the ultimate fulfillment of what God was speaking of there in Deuteronomy 12. You're not going to offer sacrifices and offerings in every place. There is only one place that is of God's choosing. And this is that ultimate place, which once again is most assuredly Calvary. This is the place which the Lord thy God shall choose for you. I want to enlarge much more, or Paul enlarges much more on this in the book of Hebrews. We have been studying that book on Wednesday evening, but we are not to this place yet. Let's turn to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, and we will begin with verse 4. And Paul tells us emphatically, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. This is a reference to all of those sacrifices that had been offered down through the ages. They were ordered of God. They go clear back to the Garden of Eden, where God slew the animals. But that was not the fulfillment that happened here at the place that we're talking about today. They were only figurative. They only pointed forward to that. They were only individual portraits, representations of the real offering that would be offered in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And so we read here, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. As wonderful as they were, and as tremendous as the results that they produced, the benefits that they produced to those people who offered them at the time then present, none of these offerings collectively could ever take away sins. And so we read verse 5, wherefore? It means because none of those offerings could ever take away sin, then here is something else presented. Wherefore, because of verse 4, when he cometh into the world, that is, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. All of these sacrifices that they offered for sin at that time, and as we have seen, as emphatically said here, those sacrifices could never take away sin. There had to be a change that would come forth. And so a body hast thou prepared me. In verse 6, in burnt offerings, sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. God could accept all of that for a time. But there came a time when he could no longer take pleasure. He was no longer pleased with such things. So in verse 7 we read, then said I, at the time when God could no longer abide these Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, and then we read, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, or according to the word of God, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. This is the place, this is the time, this is the offering that God chose. And so there came that day when it absolutely must be fulfilled. Coming to the place of God's choosing. In other words, that is written to me, that which is written according to the will of God. This is the time that the offering is going to be offered, of which we read there in Deuteronomy 12. Notice we continue. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. You will notice that Paul quotes exactly the same verse verbatim. And so he said, above, when he said this. When he spoke it above, he was talking in relation to sin. Sin could not be taken away by these sacrifices and offerings, as we have already spoken forth. He is speaking of something else in this verse. And so above, when he said sacrifice and offering, what he's talking about is especially and specifically points them out individually here, so to speak. He is speaking of those sacrifices that were offered directly under the law. Keep in mind that sacrifices were offered long before the law ever came along. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them offered sacrifices before the law was ever given. But Paul's supreme reason for this book of Hebrews is to turn the Hebrew Christians away from the law and to the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he is literally targeting the law. And so when he says sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings, he is speaking especially of those that were offered under the law. And they were extensive. If you go back into the Old Testament, they offered for very specific things, and they were very in-depth, and they had instructions for every one of them, things of this nature. And Paul is here trying to tell them the law is over. He says in the end of this verse, those things which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Notice this, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. This segment, this part of Paul's discourse, surrounds two covenants. When he says he taketh away the first, he's talking about the covenant of law. He must take away the law. That's what the Jews reacted to. That's what they were just so incensed against. You will find people today in our world that give such credence to the law, and they think they are law keepers, and they think they are justified by keeping the law. A message like this is going to really infuriate them, but the Scripture is the Scripture. And I want to emphasize that God took away the law at the place which was Calvary. You do not need to turn there, but take down this reference. You can read it for yourself and meditate and dwell upon it. It's Colossians 2, 13 and 14. It says this. Paul says, and you being dead in your sins, that refers to all of humanity, the uncircumcision of your flesh. He's talking here to the Gentiles because they were uncircumcised. But he says, you hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Then we read in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That is a reference to the law and to those who would try to take their place and put themselves under the bondage of the law. The ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus nailed the law to the cross. Why? Because it was finished. Moses was representative of the law. This man did not come to his end because he was old and because he was about to pass off the scene. His natural force was unabated and his eye was not dim. He was 120 years old. The reason that Moses passed off the scene is because God was through with him. The reason the law came passed off the scene is because that God was through with the law. It had accomplished its purposes, and that is to show up sin exceeding sinful. But the law was never intended to make man righteous, and it couldn't. And so Moses did not lead the children into the rest. did not lead them into their inheritance. You see, this is the great tragedy and the great problem with people who try to live their lives under the law. They rob themselves of the inheritance that they could have if they just believed Jesus. That's the message that Paul is preaching here at this place. And so the law perished at the place, which is Calvary. And let us continue on here in verse 10. By the which will, that is, by the will of God, we are sanctified through, notice, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the offering that God had in mind. Once again, I continue to reiterate, when he said there's just one place of sacrifice that I will accept. There's one place to offer up. And now we find the ultimate fulfillment of that is the place, which is Calvary. I thought it rather interesting here. We are sanctified through the offering. It is the offering as opposed to these multiple offerings down through the ages. The offering, it was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was once. It was never offered before, and it will never be offered again. This is the ultimate sacrifice that God accepted, the only one that he could have pleasure in, both to take away sins, and as we read here, to also take away the law. And then he says here in verse 10, once for all. It means for all people, and it means for all time. This was it. This was the fullness of what God meant when he wrote those wonderful words back in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. And so, in verse 11, we continue, every priest stands daily ministering, offering, notice this, oftentimes the same sacrifice. And it was repetitive, day after day after day, morning, evening, and all times in between, when people would have something that they needed to sacrifice for, they brought those offerings. But again, he says, as we read here, these same sacrifices which can never take away sins, as we have already seen. Verse 12, but this man. This is the same man that went to Calvary. We enlarged on a little while ago in Luke's gospel. And Luke presents the most wonderful and beautiful portrait of Christ as the man than do all of the other gospels. And so it is to Calvary, once again, as we explained why, that Jesus came. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, he came to the place, that is again Calvary, where he offered the sacrifice himself. But you will notice it was forever. And then, of course, he sat down. The reason he sat down is because now he had finally obtained the rest, both for God and for humanity, because of the sacrifice that he made there at the cross of Calvary. He had offered it at the place of God's choosing. He forever sat down, as we read here, complete rest attained. There is no more need for sacrifice. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting. In other words, from the time that Jesus offered that sacrifice, he is expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That means that because of his weakness in death, dying there on the cross, God subsequently raising him from the dead, because of all of that, that is the foundation for all the victories Jesus is yet to experience over all his enemies. The cross, the one place, the one offering. this one time that he would offer himself was sufficient to obtain all of those victories. Verse 14, by one offering, Paul continues to insist, it is just one offering as contrasted with the millions of offerings that had been offered down through the ages. By one offering, he hath perfected forever. He's completed forever them that are sanctified. And that, of course, is where we come in. That one offering at the place of God's choosing, which we have found now was Calvary, satisfied all God's purposes, and it met the needs of all humanity. Now, I want to say one more thing before we close this message. We read here, by one offering he hath perfected forever. The provision is there, but all men do not lay hold of that provision. The one offering was sufficient to save every man, woman, and child that has ever been born into this world or ever will be born. The provision is there. It's complete. There are those also who try to put forth the idea, well, God intends for some people to be saved and some not. That is a lie of the devil. This one offering provided for every man. Scripture is plain. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he laid the foundation for it. This one offering that Jesus offered there on the cross provided for that. It also provided for the absolute perfection in our practical lives. But just as men do not lay hold of the plan of salvation and be saved, there are also those who will trust in the law or their own efforts or something else in order to be perfected in actual experience by the righteousness of Christ. Let us understand, Paul said, if righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. That's true. We also read that you're not under the law, but under grace. And so we must adopt this new covenant that God has provided for us through divine grace, the offering of Christ. We must understand and lay hold of that new covenant. Leave the old one behind, the law where God left it at the cross. Let's take our place as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so today, as we once again partake of this communion service, as we do monthly, let us remember today the ultimate offering, the offering that Jesus offered at the place, which was Calvary. All the horrors of that, but this Calvary is how God accomplished all of these wonderful benefits that are available to us today. And so again, we don't try to remember what we have done or not done. There are some people that try to figure out whether they're worthy to take the communion or unworthy. It was never a question of us. The worthiness is Jesus. Is he worthy to be remembered for what he did? Not for what I did or didn't do or have in mind. We are remembering specifically. Jesus said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. So let every person in the entire world ask, is Jesus worthy of being remembered today? And the answer is an absolute yes, he is. So let's remember Christ as we partake of this communion service.